Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Are you ready for the word? 1 Samuel 7, 12 to 13 from the Amplified Classic. Read with me. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and he called the name of it Ebenezer. Everybody say Ebenezer. What does it mean? Stone of help, saying, heretofore, the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and came no more into Israelite territory. And the hand of the Lord was upon the Philistines all the days of Samuel's life. Amen. Everybody say Ebenezer. Today I want to preach about Ebenezer, the stone of help. There is a stone of help today. Today we're going to put a marker down. Something to mark today. Something to mark your life. And it's called the stone of help. Amen and amen. The children of Israel, if you read chapters before this, the children of Israel had suffered, long suffered, without the presence of God. The presence of God that was represented in the ark was for 7 months, more than half a year. If you read from 1 Samuel chapter 6, it was in the hands of the Philistines, in Philistine enemy territory. And after those, you know what? How God routed, God destroyed the power of the Philistines. The men, the people destroyed the power of their gods, their land. Everything was messed up as long as they had the presence of God, the God of Israel, in their midst. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God unless you are ready. And so because they couldn't, they sent it out to Beth Shemesh. And finally, with 2 oxen, female, they sent the cart all the way to Israel. And over 50 people died because they looked into the ark. Sheesh. They were trying to receive the ark, but 50 men who looked into the ark, slightly over 50, died that day. They decided, we can handle this. So what happened? The rest of the Israelites came and they took that ark and dedicated it. First of all, they put it on a stone. Everybody says stone. You know, it's an important factor. They put it on a stone. And then they put it in the house of Abinadab, that house was on a hill. They put it high so that everybody can see it. Well placed, safely placed on a rock. And then Samuel turned, beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel turned to the children of Israel and he said, if you will turn back to God, if you will do away with your Asherah poles and do away with all your worship of idols, and if you will turn to God and repent of your sins, then the Lord will be with you. And I'm telling you, this scripture comes there. While Samuel was offering a sacrifice and the people were repenting and he was offering a sacrifice, he took a young lamb, a young goat, and actually sacrificed it whole. While he's burning it before the Lord, just like the devil, just like the enemy, the Philistines learned that they were at Mizpah. After they had suffered so much by the presence of God, they now come to attack Israel, who has already embraced God's presence. What happened? While he was doing it, the people cried and said, Samuel, pray for us. Pray for us. Let me tell you, he started praying. And as Samuel is praying, the Bible says, God the God of Israel thundered. Everybody say thundered. Have you ever had a thunder that scared you in life? I'm talking real thunder. Have you ever had thunder that looks like it's bursting out? It's about to bust everything out of its way. I have. You actually look for the safest place to be. You don't even know whether you're safe being in the house. But I remember, occasions like that. I'm sure you do, especially in some of these serious rains we've had. But let me tell you, immediately, they routed their enemies, chased them as far as Bethkar, the farthest they could. They actually chased them into Philistine, into their own territory. And then they came back and placed Samuel, took a stone. Everybody said, took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called it the name Ebenezer, the stone of help. Today, I want you to know there is a stone of help for you. Amen? Amen? Psalms 27, listen to this man. David. Verse 1, 3, 5, and 6. What does it say? The Lord is my light. Read with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army. Yeah, some of you have been meeting armies. Some of you have been experiencing some difficult times and situations. Some of you are just in it right now. Some of you are just coming out of it right now. But I just want you to know you can speak the same word that David was speaking in his day, in your time right now. Say, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war may rise against me. In this I will be confident, for in the time of trouble, anybody faced a little trouble here and there? In the time of trouble, what? You shall what? In his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon what? High upon what? We are touching rocks everywhere we go. High upon a rock. I just want you, I'll tell you what that rock is. You know, high upon a rock. In the secret place, his secret place. The reason you and I are here today and we're well is because just like David, who encountered trouble, Samuel, and Israel, Moses, and the rest of them, just as God helped them in their day, you and I are here today surviving because the God who was their help is the God who is your help and the stone of help today for you. Shout amen. Amen. Listen to this. Speaking about Jacob. Jacob, the last blessing he made was a blessing to his children. The last words of somebody who's dying. Let's listen what he said to Joseph, about Joseph. Because you're looking at some key figures here. He says, listen to this, verse 49, 25. By the God of your father, who will help you? By the God of your father. Who will help you? Who was his father? He is a father. But he's also talking about his own father, who was Isaac. His own father. His own father's father, as you go, who was Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This Jacob speaking, it's his time. He says, by the God of your father, who will help you, and by the Almighty, who will bless you with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast, and the blessings of the womb. What was he talking about? By the God who was his helper, you will be helped. The God of your father, who will help you, was the same God who helped me. He's a generational God. Listen to this in verse 24, the verse before. It says that you have been wounded by the archers. It says, but his bow, speaking of Joseph, even though you are wounded previous to that, he said, but his bow, this is Joseph's bow, remained firm and steady in the strength that does not fail. What is that strength that doesn't fail? For his arms, Joseph's arms, were made strong and agile by the hands, whose hands? The hands of the mighty one of Jacob. In brackets, it says, by the name of the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Oosh. The stone, everybody said, the stone of Israel. I checked in Isaiah and it talks about him as the stone of Israel. And listen to this. This is now, we've seen Jacob helped by God. We see now who? Joseph helped by God, getting the promise of help. Now we are going to when Moses, because after that, who became the leader? You know, when Moses came after Joseph, Moses came from the children of Israel, from Jacob's loins, okay? When Moses came, listen to this, in Exodus 18:4, and the name of the other was Eliezer. This is Moses talking about his sons. God had blessed him in a strange land. No, God can bless you anywhere. He says, and he blessed him, and he's saying, first of all, his first son was called Gershon, meaning a stranger, was a stranger in Egypt. But then now he says, the next child, he called him Eliezer. Why did Moses, such a figure, call his second son Eliezer? He says, because he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Wow. There's a trend here. Looks like this God is a generational helper. He will help you generation after generation. And I think we're still part of that generation that is seeing the stone of God's help. Can I hear a better amen? God helped Abraham. He helped Isaac. He helped Jacob. There is a saying, which some of you probably know very well, that hurt people hurt people. Okay, another word. Wounded people wound people. So say with me, hurt people hurt people. Well, the same is true about what I'm about to say. Probably you've never had it before, but helped people help people. Amen. That's why we need to be helped, because when we are helped by God, we can help. Notice generation after generation, the help of God was being extended. Amen. You know, I read a story. I just read of a story, a very unique story, of a young lad who had a sister and a brother, a younger sister and a brother. And it's a true story. This young man was living in a very, very violent household. The father was violent, beat up the mother, would beat them up. And one day the mother had it. And she decided, I can't live here anymore. But she never told anybody. She never told her husband. She never told her children. But she also felt, I will not leave my children under this violent man's hand. So she decided, she told them, get yourself together, put on some nice clothes, carry a few clothes here and there. Of course, all that was hidden. And she led them out of the house, took them to a place in town, told them, wait here, stay here until I come back. Well, the truth is that she never came back. She left them there, and she never came back to her family, her children. Never came back to her husband. Never came back to her two sons and daughter. She left. Now, this young man, he was a lad. He got so annoyed when they realized we've been left here. And realized and decided, didn't know, how do I take care of my little sister and brother? Decided, took them home and decided, I'm running away from home. Ran away from home and went into the streets, became a part of a gang after gang, and basically his became a very notorious gang. Many years later, here comes a man of God ministering in a crusade, right where he was functioning with his gang. And so when it was packed, fully packed, these guys entered in And they had a plan, the gang. What was the plan? We are going, they had made bombs. I don't know whether they're petrol bombs or what, didn't say. But they had made bombs to kill people during the crusade. So when they got there, and they were planning, they're at the back, mingled. Something unique happened. The preacher got up, and the first thing he said was this. There is death coming to some people. Now, I don't know whether he meant that if you don't get saved, you'll be open to that. For whatever reason, he said and talked about people dying. Their hearts, this gang, were gripped with fear. And started wondering, who told him that we are planning to kill people? And so, they could not. They were restrained until the end. And guess what? The end of the crusade. At the altar call, this guy was the first one there. And he gave his life to Christ. Cut a long story short. Later on, he became a mighty evangelist in that same town. And he, in one of his crusades, he made an altar call only to find out, for the first time, he had never seen his mother. He saw his mother come and give her life to Christ. Let me tell you, God will help you no matter what. God will seek you out, find you out, and give you the help you need no matter what. When you think that guy was helped, but what about the mother he had never seen? She was helped by the person who was helped. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God wants to help you so you can help somebody else. A helper of helpers. Amen. As we journey in life, we need to encounter these stones of help. You know, stones in the Bible represent foundation and strength, memorials, covenant, judgment, justice, and witness. Those are just representations, foundation. A foundation stone, strength. Stones speak of strength. They're strong. They're very, very strong, depending on the character of that stone. Memorials, like this memorial that was put, as we are talking about, you know, between Mizpah and Shen, you know, memorials of God's goodness and God's favor, covenant. Stones were made to make altars and cut covenants, you know, before God, judgment, justice, and witness. As a witness, they were set. We can't go into all of that. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 32 says, "For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Psalms 95, verse 1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, the rock of my strength and refuge." Man, God is all this rock we're talking about. The rock of my salvation, the rock of my strength, the rock of my refuge. You need a place to hide? God is that rock. In Scripture, we read here that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, as I mentioned the first rock here, that I will put, 1 Peter 2, 6 to 7, NCV, I will put a stone in the ground in Jerusalem. Everything will be built on this important and precious rock. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disappointed. This stone is worth much to you who believe. But to the people who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Number one, the cornerstone. The cornerstone. These are the stones of help. Amen? A cornerstone, I was just reading about the cornerstone. A cornerstone is highly unique in a building. Traditionally, acting as the single most critical structure and symbolic element from which the entire building takes shape. I mean, the cornerstone brings shape to the building. It is distinct in its function. What's the function of that corner? It's very distinct in its function as an inaugural stone, the stone you begin with. Its structural role is in defining orientation, how things look, and often its specific commemorative marking. That means you can locate and put something there. You know, even when we have beacons, they are made of stones. You know, they make sure that you can see them. It is the first stone set in a masonry foundation, determining the position, alignment, and squareness. Squareness. Now, in quotes, because not every building is a square. But it's the one that, you know, not only gives you shape, but it's able to give you the stability of the entire structure. All other stones are set in reference to the cornerstone, making it the foundational masterpiece. Come on now, somebody ought to clap. Why? Because Jesus is that cornerstone. He's the cornerstone that you need. He's the one that brings firmness, stability to the building of your life. He holds everything together. That's the stone that holds everything together. Let me tell you, if you want your life held together, if you want your life helped, put in the cornerstone. Put your life next to the cornerstone of life. You know, it is. If you want your family built together, build your family with a cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In your business, some people think you can do business anyhow. No, do your business with a cornerstone. Build that business against the cornerstone of Christ himself. Amen. Whatever we do, he's the rock of our salvation. He lays a foundation for the heavenly life as we place him in the rightful place in our hearts. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Amplified says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." There's no other foundation that I know that can hold everything together, can hold you together, can hold your family together, can hold your marriage together, can hold, you know, that's why you need to understand how precious this stone is, how important this stone is, how powerful this stone is, how beautiful this stone, how strong this stone is. You cannot live without it. He's a cornerstone, I think they say, of civilization. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, when Pastor started ministering, we went there, 24 and 25, and this is what he says: "Everyone who hears my word and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock." Which rock are we talking about? Jesus Christ. That rock is the cornerstone of our building, of our house, that will last forever and ever. Amen. And everything else that we do, that we want him to build, to help, to strengthen, to put shape and structure. Come on, he has to be brought into it. Today, as we speak, there's a multiplied devastation and chaos over every institution in the stratum of life. Institutions are crumbling in this world. Social institutions, if you understand what I mean. Political institutions, economic institutions. It doesn't matter what they are. Call them whatever name you want to call them. What is the big question? Who is the cornerstone of the structure? Who is the cornerstone of that structure, of that foundation? Is it any wonder that there's a crumbling, a failure of systems and governments and all kinds of institutions that are supposed to hold things together? Why? Because there's nothing to hold them together. Christ is the cornerstone. Amen and amen. Genesis 28, verse 18. "Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And this stone which I have," this is now verse 22 of Genesis 28, the first part, "and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And to all, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Secondly, and as I finish, the church stone. The house of God, built on a rock. He called the place Bethel, the house of God. It's important to be with God and his people. God has a family here on earth of those who have become living stones. Living stones, made alive, passed from death to life, through the power of His word, the revelation of His truth into our hearts, and are now building God's spiritual house. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, talking to Peter, I said to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Jesus had just met Peter earlier, and Peter was not called Peter. Peter was called Simon Barjona, Simon. And he says, Simon actually meant a reed. Weak reed moved in the waters. But he said, Peter, rock. God wants to make a rock out of your life. Bring steadiness and firmness out of your life. God wants to build a church out of rocks that have been made anew and filled and with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. These words of Jesus were based on Peter's testimony and confession of him. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Your revelation that brings conviction to the heart and confession with the mouth brings salvation. Paul the Apostle said that the church is three things. 1 Corinthians 6:15, the church is the body of Christ. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Everybody say bodies. So you're part of the body of Christ. You are united to the body of Christ, with Christ. Therefore, what you do with your body matters to God, matters to the house of God. You cannot make God a part of what He cannot afford being a part of. Number two is a building of God. The church is a building of God. Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom the whole building. We're a building. We call this the temple of God. The building. But we already are a building of God. And God has a spiritual house, a spiritual building which He calls the church. You cannot destroy the church by destroying the physical building of the church. The church lives beyond the walls of the church. Amen? It's a spiritual building. And finally, the bride of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. Amen? Amen. Now listen to this final closing. Ephesians 4:12-16. I'm going to read it. If you can read, you can read with me. So Christ Himself gave the apostles and prophets and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Father, we want to thank You that, Lord, You are the head of the church. Lord, we thank You that You have placed us in Your church, that we are Your people. Peter called us living stones. Living stones. Made alive, having been made alive through our relationship, just like Peter who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, I will build my church. God, thank you for having given me the revelation of who you are, so that I can become what you want me to be. And then I can also accomplish through the grace that you have placed, the gifts that you have put within the church. I can accomplish through the equipping, become what you want me to be and do what you have called me to do. And that is to shine your light. And that is to manifest your glory. And that is to release the fragrance and the beauty of your name everywhere I go, in every place. Lord, today things, while things are falling apart, God, we want to thank you, we want to come back to that, Lord, that center of civilization. We want to come back to that place, Lord, of the cornerstone, to connect ourselves, to attach ourselves to the place of strength and firmness and stability, that nothing can shake us, nothing can move us, nothing can, Lord, even that we are fixed on a rock that cannot be broken, that cannot be shaken, and that, oh God, in that rock, we have the help that we need. Everything that we need because of who you are. Today I thank you that the church is supplied with everything we need because of who you are. It's not about us. It's not about how good I am. It's about how good you are. And I thank you and I bless you today. Lord, today I know that there are people who have gone through some difficult situations. Just when we think we are in a safe place and the enemy attacks, I know even in this service, the enemy has attacked you and you thought, you can't even understand how, why now? I just want you to know, just like the children of Israel were under attack, today my message to you is that there is a stone of help right where you are. The enemy is attacking you when you're most vulnerable, but there is a stone of hell. There were no armies of God that time. There were no swords. People were bowed down and worshiping and crying out to God and turning to God. But God became the enemy to their enemies. And I pray that he'll become an enemy to your enemy as you return to God and spend time in his presence and seek him above everything else. That's my prayer today for people here today. Never, never, never be afraid of what the enemy can do. Never, never miss out on the house of God. This is the house of prayer. This is a house of bread. This is a house where his anointing rests. God will meet your needs in this very house. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you. If your life is not connected to that cornerstone, maybe even your marriage, I don't know what you're doing in your life, any part of your life, I'm asking you to begin to move towards that cornerstone. Make a decision that you are not going to live ordinarily, but supernaturally, through the grace and the help of God. God is ready to help anyone who calls on his name and who proclaims him Lord over his life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.